Exodus chapter 14. If the Lord would meet with us today, both these messages would be a great blessing. Wednesday night, we may look at Mark chapter 8 on our compassionate Lord. Exodus 14, read verses 21 and 22 with me. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land. The waters were divided. The children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand, on their left. Verses 27 through 29, Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength. When the morning appeared, the Egyptians fled against the sea, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. The waters returned, covered the chariots and the horsemen. All the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them, there remained not so much as one of them, but the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea. The waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Water in this story, water in the gospel, water throughout the scriptures, represents something that is a blessing to some, a curse to others. Salvation of some, but the destruction and damnation of others. Waters, as in this story, are a wall and protection to God's people, but destroy all the rest. What could this water represent? Well, it represents the Word of God. It represents Christ. You know, you can always interchange the word with Christ, and Christ, the Word. That's His name. Scriptures like this: God created all things by His Word. He created all things by Christ. Without Him was not anything made that was made. God upholds all things by the word of His power. Christ is the power of God. He upholds all things. We're born again by the word of God. We're born again by Christ travailing in birth for us. So these waters that were a wall to God's people that came crashing down on Egypt is the word of God that saves God's people and yet damns those who are not. The Word represents Christ, who's the Savior of His people, but the judge and condemnation of others. The Word of God, like water, comes from where? Where does water come from? Above. Water, the Word of God, like water, is the mercy of God. It's just the grace of God. The goodness of God. We cannot live without water. It comes from God. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. So there's no variables or shadow of turning. Lord, this world still exists because of water. Right? It's the only planet with water. Man keeps looking for a planet with water on it. And he's going to keep looking in black holes. Instead of looking to God, instead of looking in this Word. The Christ is the water of life. This world still spins because the gospel still is preached, the gospel of Christ. God still has people in this world. The Word of God, like water, is the power of God. There's nothing more powerful than the sea. I remember, some of you have ever watched those shows, these tuna fishermen and all that. I forget what it's called. But anyway, one of those old sea captains, you know, they don't, he doesn't worship God on the Lord's Day and all, but he said this. He said, if you don't believe in God, you come out here. He really didn't, but that's a case in point, though. Isn't it? The sea is so fearful. Nothing more subject to the mercy of God and in the hands of God than a sailing vessel out on the ocean. I don't care how big the ship is. Titanic, you know, man made this boat unsinkable. Cannot sink. It took one trip. The word of God, like water, is power, his power. He created everything by the word. He upholds everything by the word. He just speaks. That's power. Just speak. That's done. The word of God, like rain, falls on the just and the unjust. The word of God is such a blessing. It's such a blessing. We're so thankful for it. It's to us the greatest gift on this earth. We cannot live without this water of life. But the world don't need it. Well, yes, you do too. You just don't know it. You take it for granted. The word, like water, if it's withheld, if he withholds water, there's judgment, there's punishment. Drought, the Lord has always sent as a form of his judgment against sin. Drought. You withhold the water. What happens? Everything dries up and dies without the water, without the word. It becomes a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Amos 8, I quote it quite often, he says, in the last days there shall be a drought, a famine, not of bread, not a famine of bread, but of the hearing of the word. The word will dry up. They were dark ages back from 400 A.D. till 1400 to the Reformation. Martin Luther, these men that began to publish the word of God. They were dark ages because the word is light. They were dark for 1,000 years where no Bible. People didn't have a Bible. And it was dark ages. Amos 8 says that there'll be a drought of the famine, not of the hearing of, not of bread, but of the hearing of the word of the Lord. And he said, you're going to have to go here and there. You're going to have to go a long ways to find it. There are more Bibles today than ever, but they're so twisted, so perverted, and so corrupted and translated away that they don't even resemble the original word of God. They've taken all the offense out of it. And you have to go a long way. You go here and there looking for somebody that's got the truth as it is, as it was written. And a man that stand up and preaching the truth as God says it. Not everywhere. The word of God reveals God. The word of God reveals Christ. You can't know God apart from his word. You cannot know Christ apart from his word. You cannot sit on a mountain and cross your leg and find out God. You come up with some kind of imagination of God. God is only known and revealed through what he writes about himself. About what he says about God himself, what he says about man is just, we use the word spot on. It's just true. And God's people know it because he's revealed it to them from the word. And they know it from experience. They've been born again. They've been had your eyes open, their ears open, their a new heart to do what? To hear this. To see. See. The word of God, like water, it's comforting. Water's so comforting. You know, you hear it, a brook and or a stream, and it's so calming, it's so soothing in it, but it's frightening. It's been frightening. I was out on a ship, sailing ship with with five other men 150 miles out to sea. We sailed 800 miles down the Atlantic Ocean. And I'm a landlubber. You know, I'd never been out there like that. I've been on a, you know, deep sea fishing, you know, 5 miles out. We're 150 miles out. Completely subject to the weather and all that. And man, that boat heeled over in the wind, and I was scared. I was scared. In verse 16, it says, the Lord gave the word to Moses, lift up your rod, stretch out your hand, and divide this sea. Children of Israel are going to go over. He made a promise. My people are going to get through this sea. I'm going to divide it. And this ocean that could destroy any human being is not going to destroy my people. Now, why did Israel get through and not destroy, and Egypt was destroyed? God gave the word. God said so. Not fair. Doesn't care whether you think it is fair or not. It's so. God's people are glad. We're saved. We escape through these exceeding precious promises, and we find them in God's word. He gave the promise, and also because Moses was lifting up his hand and stretching forth that rod, God's people had a mediator between them and God. God was angry with Egypt. And the reason God's people got over is God gave the word, and Moses held out the rod and held out his hand, and they had a mediator. Egypt did not. That ain't fair. Well, that's the way it is. And then when Egypt assayed, Hebrews says, or tried or intended to go over, it was Moses, the mediator, that said, that stretched forth his hand and killed them all. The Jesus Christ of Scripture is both the one who makes alive and the one who kills. He's the Savior, but he's the Judge. He's a Jesus men don't know. Life is in his hand to do with as he will. That's the Jesus Christ of Scripture, which men aren't preaching, but the Scriptures clearly declares in them. This Moses, the one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. And that holding up the rod and his hand is when Christ is the rod. Christ is the hand of God, but Christ literally stretched forth his hands willingly and let them put nails in it, or they couldn't have done it. Go ahead. Nail me to this cross. Kill me. He laid down his life. Kill me. And he did what God determined before to be done. And he willingly did this. Why? So that God's people will cross over. There's no other reason. Not their goodness, not their will, not their works, not their sincerity, not them turning over a new leaf. It's because Christ died. That's what parted the waters for God's people and didn't destroy them. God gets going. All Egypt went into the sea. Israel went into the sea, didn't they? They all went through the sea. Everyone has to go through this world. We live in this world. Now, all of Israel saw these waters, didn't they? Towering over them, didn't they? Egypt saw them. Towering over them. What's the difference? You know, all hear the word of God. Everyone hears the word of God. Paul wrote in Romans, he said, have they not all heard? Turn with me to Romans 10. Most can quote just one verse in Romans. Romans 10, verse 13, what most people could quote, or maybe verse 17, faith cometh by hearing. But he says here in verse 18, I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily. Sound went into all the earth. What's that? The word of God. Their words. The prophets, the apostles, our Lord. The sound of words went to the ends of the world. The ends of the world. Have they not all heard? Have not all heard the word of God today? Yes. We have the means now to go into every corner of the globe, the most remote parts of this planet. And they've all heard, all here. And yet, all mankind tries to go through this world ignoring the plain truth of God. Try to ignore it. Okay? And the sad thing is, the tragic thing is that all is going to come crashing down on the heads of men someday, just like God said. Christ is coming down. How? Like rain. Like fire. Look at verse 27 in our text. It says, the Lord, the Egyptians, tried to go through the sea, and the Lord took off their chariot wheels. And they drave heavily. They were driving heavily. Bogged down, weighted down, trudging onward, trying to get through this Red Sea. And they were bogged down and couldn't make it very, very far. And this is such a picture of mankind. He's bound by sin, bound by ignorance. He's in darkness, but he trudges onward, not asking for light. Goes through all these things, all the wrath of God. Romans 1:18 says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and righteousness of men. But man just trudges on in his sin, trudges on in his rebellion and his obstinance against God. No matter what happened, God takes his wheels off. And he goes on without repentance. Without thanksgiving. Romans 1. Read it if you never read. Read it. This is man. He changes the truth of God. Things that are clearly seen. God's eternal power in God. And man just ignores it. No. That's not God. It's luck. It's fate. It's chance. It's, whatever it is. It's just no God. I don't want there to be a God. I don't want to believe these clear things. I refuse to believe in God. And I'm just going to trudge onward in my rebellion against Him. David in Psalm 9, I love Psalm 9. I read it again this morning. I thought, we need to look at that together. But David, the last, he says, put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be just men. Put them in fear. And he does. God sends things. Look at verse 25. It says, the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel. The Lord fights against the Egyptians. Man fears, yes, man fears because God sends things to put him in fear. He boasts, he brags of his independence, his what he can do and will do and free will and all of this. And then God has sent one little thing and just strike mortal fear in him. One germ. And everybody's running and hiding and fear. Oh, don't get near me. That's all God has sent. One little germ. And big, proud man boasting, and he just put them in fear, O Lord. Make them know they're just bugs, worms, little insects in my hand. God's people know that. They know that. But you know, man fears danger, man fears things, but he doesn't repent. In Revelation 16, read that if you hadn't read it in a while. It says, God scorched men with heat, and they cursed God. It gets too hot, they curse God, but they don't repent. I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. Have mercy upon me. No. God sends drought. They don't repent. God sends too much rain. They don't repent. They just curse God. Just curse God. Because man, his mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. And like Pharaoh in Egypt, man hardens his own heart to God's word. He hardens the judgment of God. Now, all right. Enough about Egypt. Oh, the amazing love and mercy and grace of God that Israel, who were just like the Egyptians, obstinate, hardened, but God said, you are going to know me. You, I'm going to put the fear of God in you. You are going to know. You are going to believe me. You are going to know there's one way that you're going to get through all this. It's me. You're going to know this. And you're going to repent. And you're going to bow. And you're going to call. And you're going to give me thanks. And you're going to meet together. And every time you meet together, you're going to give me all the glory for everything. You're going to know me. And the end of this chapter, it says, all Israel saw what God had done to the Egyptians and to them. Why? Why would he do that to some? He ought to just kill them all. He didn't. See, none of them deserved to live. The Israelites, they didn't deserve to live any more than the Egyptians did. And all mankind by nature has got his fist raised in the face of God. But God. But yeah. And the waters were a wall to the people of Israel, children of Israel. A wall. By the word of God, because of the mediator of God, the waters could not, would not, could not fall down on the heads of the Israelites. They're sinners. Just hang on. For the next 40 years, let's see if these Israelites are sinners or not. Oh, my. But God. He made a covenant. They had a mediator. For 40 years, they had a mediator. They had a covenant. And God spared him the whole time. Why? Because he said so. He said so. Now, think about this. This is a real story. The world doesn't believe this happened. The world doesn't believe it was creation. The world doesn't believe Adam and Eve. They think it's just some kind of allegory or whatever, some Jewish fable. They don't believe the flood. They don't believe Noah's Ark. They don't believe any of that. It doesn't matter to God whether they believe it or not. That's true. But the Israelites, think about this. Try to imagine walking through that sea with those waters. You know, how deep was the sea at that point? 30, 40, 50, 100, 150 feet deep. Those walls rising above them. Probably so they couldn't see the sky. It was so tall and raging. Was it quiet? Mm-hmm. Were they afraid? Were they afraid? Were they trembling? To a man. They're trembling. They're walking through that and they're trembling. You know what the Lord said? In Isaiah 66, he says, to this man will I look. That he is poor and a contrite heart and trembleth at my word. To a man, probably they were all saying, it's going to come down on my head. That water's going to come crashing down on me. To a man, they were all guilty. They were all sinners. To a man, to a woman, God's going to kill us all. What happened? No, it can't happen. It can't come down. God promised. God promised. God gave the word. And look at this. Now, here's the great picture. Here's the great picture. Here's the gospel picture in all this. In verses 26 and 27, it says, the Lord told Moses, stretch out your hands, and the waters came again, came crashing down on the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And verse 28 says, there's not one of them remaining, not one of them. Not one single Egyptian that was pursuing after those Israelites remained. Not one enemy of Israel was, not one drop of water fell on them, and not one enemy laid hold of them. They were gone. In verse 30, it says, they all saw the Lord saved Israel. Who saved who? Did the Lord ask Israel? Please, if you'll just take the first step through this red. Would you all accept me as your personal? He didn't ask anybody anything. He did the work. And they saved them out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. All right? All the enemies of God, of God's people. All the adversaries of God's people. All those that pursue God's people all our lives. This thing that threatens to overthrow us and overcome us. That vexes us, that keeps us in bondage for all these years, our sins, will not, cannot overthrow us, according to the Word of God, because Christ died and holds forth His hand and separated us from our sins. And in the end, they're all going to be gone, and we're going to see it. Not one lust will bother us ever again. Not one temptation will bother us ever again. Try to imagine it. Not one regret. We will not have one single regret in our hearts and our minds about anything. Not one single feeling of guilt, of shame, of worry, of doubt, of fear. Not one. Gone. Gone forever. Perfect peace, happiness, contentment, and quiet. Try to imagine it. You can't. We're going to see them all. Dead. So how can we praise God for forgiving us of sins if we don't remember our sin? I don't know, but we will. We'll just know that we're all dead and blind and sinners and guilty and all that, but not anymore. Not anymore. And we all know it's because of one person, Jesus Christ crucified. We'll all know. See, heaven wouldn't be heaven. There wouldn't be perfect peace and contentment if there's any regret, if there's any shame, if there's any feeling of remorse or guilt or whatever. It can't be. We'll know. We'll know. And Revelation 7. Now, the next chapter, verse 31, we didn't read that. It says, Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. All Israel knew who did this work. Who saved you, Moses? God did. Who saved you? How are you saved, Joshua? The Lord did it. Caleb, how'd you get through that sea? Well, God brought me through. Ask one Israelite. Ask one of God's people. Any of them. Ask them all. They'll all tell you. Salvations of the Lord. He did it. What did you do? Nothing.
That's right.
Nothing. They're all going to see the work the Lord did. And the people, verse 31, feared the Lord. You know, we never quit fearing the Lord in this lifetime. And they believed the Lord. They believed the Lord. And his servant, Moses. He's just a man. Well, what he said was the word of God. And they all knew it. Now we know. God sent this man. It all came true. And the next chapter is what? It's a song in it. Song of Moses. What is it about? Same thing. It's the same story. And you know, the Bible never leaves this. Does it, John? You've read it. All the way through the Psalms. Keep rehearsing it. In the New Testament. Hebrews and all that. And you know what? Over in the Revelation. This took place 3,500 years ago. 3,500 years ago. They were singing the song of Moses. And you know what? In glory, you know what we're going to be singing? In Revelation 15, it says they sang the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. Two songs throughout eternity. Same songs forever. All the people of God still singing two songs. Salvation is of the Lord and worthy is the Lamb. And what do you think about those songs? The waters are a wall. Yes, fear the Lord, but trust Him. You do both? Fear and trust? Yes. Yes. You know what I mean. Okay.